When I came to, I was being bounced around, and I ached and smarted, and I wondered dimly where I was. I tried to think, but there was a high-pitched screaming going on, and I couldn't tell whether it was inside my head or out. Then I realized it was a siren. The fuzz, I thought dully. The cops have come for us. I tried to swallow a groan and wished wildly for soda. Someone with a wet, cold rag was gently sponging off my face, and a voice said, "I think he's coming around." I opened my eyes. It was dark. "I'm moving," I thought. "Are they taking me to jail?" "Where?" I said hoarsely, not able to get anything else out of my mouth. My throat was sore. I blinked at the stranger sitting beside me. But he wasn't a stranger. I'd seen him before. "Take it easy, kid. You're in an ambulance." "Where's Johnny?" I cried, frightened at being in this car with strangers. And Dallas?" "They're in the other ambulance right behind us. Just calm down. You're gonna be okay. You just passed out." "I didn't either," I said in the bored, tough voice we reserved for strangers and cops. "Dallas hit me." "How come?" "Because your back was in flames, that's why." I was surprised. "It was? Golly, I didn't feel it. It don't hurt." "We put it out before you got burned. That jacket saved you from a bad burn and maybe saved your life. You just keeled over from smoke inhalation and a little shock. Of course, that slap on the back didn't help much." I remembered who he was then. Jerry somebody or other who was too heavy to get in the window. He must be a school teacher, I thought. "Are you taking us to the police station?" I was still a little mixed up as to what was coming off. "The police station?" It was his turn to be surprised. "What would we want to take you to the police station for? We're taking all three of you to the hospital." I let his first remark slide by. "Are Johnny and Dally all right?" "Which one's which?" "Johnny has black hair. Dally's the mean-looking one." He studied his wedding ring. Maybe he's thinking about his wife, I thought. I wished he'd say something. "We think the toe-headed kid is gonna be all right. He burned one arm pretty badly, though, trying to drag the other kid out the window. Johnny, well, I don't know about him. A piece of timber caught him across the back. He might have a broken back, and he was burned pretty severely. He passed out before he got to the window. They're giving him plasma now." He must have seen the look on my face, because he hurriedly changed the subject. "I swear, you three are the bravest kids I've seen in a long time. First you and the black-haired kid climbing in that window, and then the tough-looking kid going back in to save him. Mrs. O'Brien and I think you were sent straight from heaven, or are you just professional heroes or something?" Sent from heaven? Had he gotten a good look at Dallas? "No, we're greasers," I said. I was too worried and scared to appreciate the fact that he was trying to be funny.
"You're what?"
"Greasers, you know, like hoods, JDs. Johnny is wanted for murder, and Dallas has a record with the fuzz a mile long."
"Are you kidding me?"
Jerry stared at me as if he thought I was still in shock or something. "I am not. Take me to town and you'll find out pretty quick."
"We're taking you to a hospital there anyway. The address card in your billfold said that was where you lived.
Your name's really Ponyboy?"
"Yeah, even on my birth certificate. And don't bug me about it.
I felt weak. "Are the little kids okay?"
"Just fine. A little frightened, maybe. There were some short explosions right after y'all got out. Sounded just exactly like gunfire."
Gunfire. There went our gun, and gone with the wind. Were we sent from heaven? I started to laugh weakly. I guess that guy knew how close to hysterics I really was, for he talked to me in a low, soothing voice all the way to the hospital. I was sitting in the waiting room, waiting to hear how Dally and Johnny were. I had been checked over, and except for a few burns and a big bruise across my back, I was all right. I had watched them bring Dally and Johnny in on stretchers. Dally's eyes were closed, but when I spoke, he had tried to grin and had told me that if I ever did a stupid thing like that again, he'd beat the tar out of me. He was still swearing at me when they took him on in. Johnny was unconscious. I had been afraid to look at him, but I was relieved to see that his face wasn't burned. He just looked very pale and still and sort of sick. I would have cried at the sight of him so still, except I couldn't in front of people. Jerry Wood had stayed with me all the time. He kept thanking me for getting the kids out. He didn't seem to mind our being hoods. I told him the whole story, starting when Dallas and Johnny and I had met at the corner of Pickett and Sutton. I left out the part about the gun and our hitching a ride in the freight car. He was real nice about it and said that being heroes would help get us out of trouble, especially since it was self-defense and all. I was sitting there smoking a cigarette when Jerry came back in from making a phone call. He stared at me for a second. "You shouldn't be smoking." I was startled. "How come?" I looked at my cigarette. It looked okay to me. I looked around for a no-smoking sign and couldn't find one. "How come?"
"Why, Jerry stammered. You're too young."
"I am?" I had never thought about it. Everyone in our neighborhood, even the girls, smoked. Except for Darry, who was too proud of his athletic health to risk a cigarette, we had all started smoking at an early age. Johnny had been smoking since he was 9. Steve started at 11, so no one thought it was unusual when I started. I was the weed fiend in my family. Soda smokes only to steady his nerves or when he wants to look tough. Jerry simply sighed, then grinned. "There are some people here to see you. Claim to be your brothers or something?" I leaped up and ran for the door, but it was already open, and Soda had me in a bear hug and was swinging me around. I was so glad to see him I could have bawled. Finally, he set me down and looked at me. He pushed my hair back. "Oh, pony boy, your hair. Your tough, tough hair." Then I saw Darry. He was leaning in the doorway, wearing his olive jeans and black T-shirt. He was still tall, broad-shouldered Darry, but his fists were jammed in his pockets and his eyes were pleading. I simply looked at him. He swallowed and said in a husky voice, "Pony boy." I let go of Soda and stood there for a minute. Darry didn't like me. He had driven me away that night. He had hit me. Darry hollered at me all the time. He didn't give a hang about me. Suddenly I realized, horrified, that Darry was crying. He didn't make a sound, but tears were running down his cheeks. I hadn't seen him cry in years, not even when Mom and Dad had been killed. I remembered the funeral. I had sobbed in spite of myself. Soda had broken down and bawled like a baby. But Darry had only stood there, his fists in his pockets, and that look on his face. The same helpless, pleading look that he was wearing now. In that second, what Soda and Dally and Two-Bit had been trying to tell me came through. Darry did care about me, maybe as much as he cared about Soda. And because he cared, he was trying too hard to make something of me. When he yelled, "Pony, where have you been all this time?" he meant, "Pony, you scared me to death. Please be careful because I couldn't stand it if anything happened to you." Darry looked down and turned away silently. Suddenly I broke out of my daze. "Darry!" I screamed, and the next thing I knew, I had him around the waist and was squeezing the daylights out of him. "Darry," I said, "I'm sorry." He was stroking my hair, and I could hear the sobs racking him as he fought to keep back the tears. "Oh, Pony, I thought we'd lost you, like we did Mom and Dad." That was his silent fear, then, of losing another person he loved. I remembered how close he and Dad had been, and I wondered how I could ever have thought him hard and unfeeling. I listened to his heart pounding through his T-shirt and knew everything was going to be okay now. I had taken the long way around, but I was finally home. To stay.